First of all, I just think it's an honor to be able to talk with you. I wrote you before about how I've read all your books. I should say I've read a fraction of your books, but a significant fraction, I think about seven of them, and was especially struck by the book on evil, Inside Human Violence and Cruelty. What kind of feedback have you gotten?
It's done quite well. It continues to sell. Lots of people say it's one of the favorite books on the topic, so I've been really happy.
You mentioned that, you know, obviously the most important thing is to jump into the frame of reference of the perpetrator. You've got to identify with them long enough.
I said in the book that was going to be the goal, hence the title, Inside Human Violence and Cruelty.
Right.
I wanted to understand what it's like from that perspective, and I made effort to write it in a way so that people could read those things and see themselves possibly acting that way in that situation. This is a contrast to most books on violence and evil, which try to portray them in utterly horrific terms so that the reader recoils and says, oh, I would never do that. And then everyone can feel good and virtuous and so on. But I wanted people to see it from, and it looks different from the perpetrator's perspective. So I also said, we have to be sure that this doesn't lead to condoning or accepting acts that are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed most prior books had dealt with that and sort of dismissed it and say, oh, yeah, we're just trying to understand, and understanding is not forgiving.
Right.
But I wasn't sure it goes so easily, because once you understand things from the perpetrator's point of view, it doesn't look as bad as it does from the victim's point of view. Right. This is a key fact.
Right. And, you know, I'll just say from personal experience that it made me really think about the things that I might be doing, thinking that I'm doing good and actually doing what other people would see as evil and what actually is evil. So, and in fact, I'm thinking about a section of your book, and look at the preface here where you said your goal was to encourage, seduce, and perhaps trick you into seeing events from the perspective of the perpetrators of evil. And you say, of course, identifying with evil is the first step toward perpetrating it, so it's necessary to step back out of that role once one is in it. The hardest part in understanding the nature of evil is to first recognize that you or I could, under circumstances, commit many of the acts that the world has come to regard as evil. But as long as we continue to regard evildoers as a separate species, an alien category, or a wholly different type of human being, we cannot really claim to understand them. Our best hope of avoiding that fate is to learn to understand and recognize these reactions so that we may be able to recognize them as evil before we commit them. This book is devoted to that hope. That's just really helped me as a person, as a human being, not just as someone who likes to think about these things, but you know, in my relationship with my wife or my children or friends or coworkers or customers, vendors in business. It just seemed like my whole world opened up to see how prevalent the subtle the forces of evil could be.
Thanks for saying that. You've made my day.
Well, and that kind of brings me to this article that we wrote with Dan, and I'd love for you to weigh in on. You've had a chance to take a look at it. I think the prevailing idea here was that misperception can be a root of a lot of evil. Certainly, evil is a complex topic, and you address it in all of its dimensions. But I did make the point in that article about how misperception can automatically influence us to feel the wrong ways and do the wrong things, all the while thinking that we're feeling the right ways and doing the right things. And specifically, directing that towards what Dan is running into, which is a lot of people resent his front gate, and they resent his seeming aloofness until they see what's really going on with him. And I think it just illustrates this larger point that people can be vindictive toward him out of a sense of justice and not realize that they're seeing the situation wrong.
So, I mean, we're talking specifically that because of the injury to his hands, that doing email is difficult and painful for him. And so he doesn't respond to every message that comes in. because it's much more costly and troublesome for him to do that than for the rest of us. There are serious misperception gaps between victim and perpetrator of these things. The inability of the one person to understand the intentions of the other often leads people to condemn things as evil and bad and unacceptable, objectionable, all sorts of things. Evil is obviously one of the stronger terms, but all sorts of interpersonal conflict have that aspect. A number of years ago, we did a large study of people's experiences of being angry at someone or someone being angry at them, and a pretty consistent pattern was that the angry person who felt something bad had been done to him, the victim, if you will, was reluctant or unable to see what to the perpetrator were reasonable, valid, justifiable reasons for acting the way he or she did. I started with the philosophical question of why is there evil?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to tackle it as a social scientist. But about halfway through, as I was going through all the evidence, I said, well, it's a more complicated question. It's why do some people do things that others consider evil? The most people who do these things that we condemn as evil don't see them as evil. And that's probably as true today as it was in the past. And if we look at the epitome of evil today, probably terrorists and things like that, but they don't see themselves as doing evil things. They often see themselves as soldiers fighting for a just cause or freedom fighters or, you know, in some other often very positive positive way. So yes, anyway, misperception is often quite fundamental to the social relationships that produce this kind of outcome.
Good. Like I said, a misperception is quite fundamental. And, you know, you talk about certainly the more blatant forms of evil, and we certainly can see that in examples of ISIS or Hitler, these stark, very,
it goes
very
beyond
obvious.
Not answering email.
And now let's jump to not answering email, because I think there's more subtle forms, and I think this is where people, evil is an extreme word in and of itself, but I would say subtle forms of cruelty can drive this whole issue with email. I don't get a response from somebody who is an important person. I feel someone has basically insulted me, and therefore it seems just to repay them. So we're good, and thank you again. I really value our time together.
Okay, Eric. Well, thank you. Have a good weekend.